All right, welcome in everybody to another deep dive. We're taking all that info that matters, you know, the big reports, data, all those details, and making it make sense so you don't have to wade through it all.
That's exactly what we're doing. And today, we've got something interesting. A bunch of operational audit reports from the Oklahoma State Auditor and Inspector's Office, all about Pottawatomie County.
Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, that's right.
We're going deep on this one, looking at fiscal years 2008 to 2010, then jumping ahead to 2016 and 2017.
An operational audit, it's like a health check, but for a government. Like, are they using the money right? Are they following the rules? Do they have their systems in order? Our job here is to find the good stuff, the things that tell us the story of how Pottawatomie County was working back then.
We'll be breaking down their money moves, how well they stuck to the laws, and how strong those internal controls really were. So, you know, no need to dig through hundreds of pages yourself.
But before we get into the nitty-gritty, gotta understand the place, right? Mm-hmm. Pottawatomie County, it's more than just numbers on a page.
Absolutely. You need that context. This county, it's got a rich history, you know, going way back. Started with Native American tribes, lots of them. And then in 1891, it opened up to white settlers with the land run. Back then, it was just County B, but in 92, they changed it to Pottawatomie. It means people in the place of fire, honoring the Pottawatomie people.
People of the place of fire. Wow, that's cool.
And get this, there was this rivalry between Tecumseh, which was the original county seat, and Shawnee. Shawnee eventually took over, and they even had big dreams of being the state capital. They even had plans for a governor's mansion there.
Imagine the politics going on there.
Oh, for sure.
But beyond all that, the county grew a lot thanks to oil, the railroads, and of course, agriculture, which is still a big deal for them today. You get the feeling they're proud of their roots, you know, with events like Frontier Days and Tecumseh and Heritage Fest in Shawnee.
And you can't forget that Santa Fe Depot in Shawnee, built in 1903, real piece of history.
For sure. A place with a story.
Oh, and let's not forget about the Shawnee Indian Reservation right there in the county. And they even mentioned 63 ghost towns, which kind of tells you how things have changed over time.
Ghost towns. Wow.
Having two colleges there probably makes a difference too, both for the community and how the economy works.
So definitely not a boring place. And to get a sense of the scale, you know, what they were dealing with back then, the reports give us some numbers. In 2007, right before our first audit window, about 69,000 people, over 1,700 farms covering almost 400,000 acres. By 2014 and 2016, the population crept up a bit, around 72,000, but fewer farms and less farmland overall. The size of the county stayed the same, though, just over 793 square miles.
So we're looking at a place with a pretty steady population during those years, maybe shifting a little away from farming. And of course, we need to know who was in charge, making the decisions about the money and resources.
Right, the names behind the numbers. So for those 2008 to 2010 audits, Troyce King was the county assessor, Nancy Bryce as county clerk. The county commissioners were Bob Gwynn, Jerry Richards, and Buck Day. Mike Booth was sheriff, Wendy Magnus the treasurer, and Rita Head the court clerk. Now skip ahead to 2016, some of those names are still there. Troyce King, Mike Booth, and Wendy Magnus. But the commissioners were different. Melissa Dennis, Randy Thomas, and Eddie Stackhouse.
We also have Rachel Flewallen as county clerk, Valerie Yultzen as court clerk, and Richard Smotherman as district attorney. Same folks were in place for the 2017 audit. It's important to know who these people are because they're the ones responsible for the financial practices we're going to be looking at.
All right, with that background in place, let's get into the 2010 audit. First thing they found, actually pretty good news. Receipts, disbursements, and cash balances, they all looked right, lined up with the treasurer's monthly reports.
That's a solid starting point, right? I mean, they were keeping decent financial records.
Yeah, like the basics were there. Yeah. And when it came to protecting the county's money, making sure they had enough collateral for their deposits, they seemed to be doing okay.
They were mostly following those collateral rules, but the auditors did see room for improvement in how they were managing it internally. Like, they didn't have good records showing that someone independent was checking to make sure they had enough security.
So they were probably doing it, but no paper trail, no proof.
Exactly.
Okay, here's something that seems really important. Big issue in that 2010 audit was how they were using sales tax money. State law 68 OS section 1370E is clear. You can only use that money for the specific things voters approved it for.
And what's interesting here is that the county wasn't doing a great job making sure that sales tax was calculated correctly and then going to the right places. They were sending money to the Pottawatomie County Public Safety Center Trust, but they weren't keeping good records of how the trust was actually spending it.
So if you're not tracking where the money's going, how do you know it's being used for what it was meant for?
That's the key question, isn't it?
Yeah. The audit also looked at property taxes, those ad valorem taxes. They were generally splitting them up correctly each month, but again, documentation problems. They needed to do a better job recording how they were reviewing those certified levy amounts.
It's familiar, right? Doing the right thing, but not writing it down.
Exactly. Then there's how the county was spending money, their purchasing procedures. They were mostly following the rules for expenditures, but still some problems. Sometimes, no receiving reports to prove they got what they paid for, even some unsigned purchase orders.
And that's where checks and balances come in, what we call segregation of duties. The audit pointed out that the purchasing agent was doing way too much, like approving the money and making the payments, without anyone else looking it over.
So one person had too much power, too much control.
And that can be a problem. If one person controls too much, mistakes can happen. Or worse, you know.
Yeah, not good. And that lack of oversight came up again when they looked at competitive bidding for bigger purchases, anything over $10,000. They weren't always keeping records of how the bids were awarded, how they were advertised, who won. And guess what? Often, it was that same purchasing agent handling everything.
Sounds like that person had a lot on their plate and not enough people checking their work.
Did the county at least pay their officials the right amount? Were the salaries legal?
Yeah, they were following the state laws about salary limits for county officers. But guess what? Just like before, they weren't doing a good job documenting how they calculated those salaries or showing that someone else reviewed them.
Always the same problem.
Always. And speaking of payroll, another big issue. One clerk was doing almost everything for payroll.
That's a little scary, right?
A bit, yeah. One person with that much power over payroll.
Anything else worrying in that 2010 audit?
Well, they weren't doing a great job managing their consumable inventories. You know, things like office supplies or stuff for road maintenance. Not enough checks and balances there. No one making sure they had what they were supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
At one county district, they were even storing inventory out in the open. No security.
Seriously? That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, not a good system.
It seems like one of the biggest problems in that 2010 audit was about fixed asset inventory. Things like vehicles, equipment, that kind of stuff.
You're right. They weren't following the rules about keeping good inventory records, checking to make sure those assets were still there and in good shape. And, most importantly, they weren't clearly marking equipment as belonging to the county. The auditors found a lot of stuff in different departments that wasn't marked at all.
So you could have county property being used or even taken without anyone knowing.
Exactly. Big accountability problem.
The audit also looked at those official bank accounts where the different offices have to put their money every day.
Most offices were doing that daily deposit like they were supposed to, except the sheriff's office. And a lot of offices weren't separating duties well when handling cash, and some of those cash drawers weren't very secure.
So more opportunities for things to go wrong.
Unfortunately. Even the court clerk's revolving fund and the main court fund, while generally doing okay with how they spent money, had that same problem where the court clerk was doing too much without someone else checking their work.
That's a consistent theme, isn't it? Doing the right things, but not having those checks and balances to catch mistakes or prevent problems.
It really is.
Were there any big countywide issues that the auditors found?
Two main ones. First, they didn't have good countywide controls for risk management and monitoring. They didn't have a system for figuring out what could go wrong and then making sure those risks were being managed.
So not really thinking ahead.
Not really. And second, and this is a big one, they didn't have written disaster recovery plans for the county treasurer and the county clerk.
So if something big happened, a natural disaster or a computer meltdown, they wouldn't know what to do.
That's a big vulnerability. Okay, that's the 2010 audit. Let's jump ahead to 2016. What changed?
Well, good news first. In 2016, just like in 2010, the basic financial reporting looked accurate, and they fixed that sales tax problem. They were using the money for what it was meant for.
They were also distributing the property taxes correctly, so definitely some progress.
Good to hear. But I'm guessing not everything was perfect.
You guessed right. While they were following the right procedures for spending money, the auditors weren't convinced that those expenditures, including payroll, were being reported accurately. The internal controls just weren't strong enough.
Ah, so those same old control problems were still there.
Yep. The 2016 audit specifically said that their payroll process was still a mess. Lots of missing signatures on timesheets, leave balances not documented right, negative leave balances not being fixed.
So 6 years later, same vulnerabilities in the payroll system.
Pretty much. And what about those countywide controls and disaster recovery plans? Had they gotten better at those?
Well, that was another repeat finding. Still not enough countywide controls and still no disaster recovery plans. This time it was the sheriff, assessor, and court clerk who didn't have those plans.
So they might have fixed it for the treasurer and clerk after that 2010 audit, but other important offices were still unprepared.
It shows you how hard it is to change things in a big organization, to get everyone on the same page.
For sure. But were there any new problems in the 2016 audit?
Yeah, a couple of new things popped up. The auditors found that the sheriff and assessor weren't depositing money every day like they were supposed to. And the sheriff wasn't documenting that someone was checking those deposits.
Also, they messed up a transfer of funds, moving money from the use tax capital improvements fund to the district attorney use tax fund and not paying it back in the same fiscal year like the law says.
So new problems even while they were trying to fix the old ones. And I bet those inventory problems were still there too.
You bet. Still not managing their fixed assets and consumable inventories well, still not following the rules, several offices still weren't turning in those inventory lists, and they still weren't documenting fuel reconciliation properly. Keeping track of stuff was clearly not their strong suit.
So 2016 was kind of a mixed bag, some good, some bad.
Exactly. Progress in some areas, but those same old weaknesses hanging around and even some new issues.
All right, last one. 2017, what happened then?
Big change in 2017. They added a new sales tax, 0.495 cents, started July 1st, 2016. Most of that money, 0.49 cents, went to the public schools in the county based on how many students they had. The other tiny bit, 0.005 cents, went to the Pottawatomie County One Safe Place Family Justice Center.
So more money for schools and for helping families, that's good.
Definitely. The audit says they collected over $11 million in sales tax that year.
That's a lot of cash.
It is. And all those audit reports from every year we've talked about, they had these detailed sections about all the different county funds and how money moves between them. Really important for understanding how they manage all that revenue. You see all these dedicated funds like for roads, public safety, fire departments, EMS, economic development, the OSU Extension Center, senior citizen programs, soil conservation, even the free fair.
So many different pots of money.
Tons of them. Then, besides those sales tax funds, they have other special funds, like for capital improvements, paying off debt, fixing roads and bridges. The audits also show how money moved between those funds, like from the general fund to the highway fund, and smaller transfers too. All those transfers have to follow the law. It's a big part of how they manage their finances overall.
It seems complicated.
It can be. Oh, and there was a restatement of fund balance in 2016.
What was that about?
They reclassified the court fund payroll and the sheriff juvenile detention center cash fund. Those used to be counted differently, but they changed how they categorized them to give a more accurate picture of the county's finances.
Makes sense. So, taking a step back, looking at all these audits, 2010, 2016, 2017, what's the big takeaway? How is Pottawatomie County doing with their money during those years?
Well, the good news is they seem to have been reporting their basic financial information accurately. That's the most important thing a government has to do. And they were mostly doing it right.
That's a relief.
But there were definitely some recurring problems, especially with those internal controls. Payroll processing was a mess. They weren't managing their fixed assets or consumable inventories well, and they weren't always following the rules, especially in those earlier audits about how they used sales tax money and how they handled competitive bidding.
It's amazing how some of those findings, like the ones about countywide controls and those disaster recovery plans, kept popping up audit after audit. Seems like they really struggled to fix those things.
It does seem that way. But in fairness, the county officials did say what they were going to do to fix the problems, at least in those management response sections of the reports.
So they knew what they needed to do. Whether they actually did it is another question.
Exactly. But for you listening, this deep dive shows you what's going on behind the scenes in local government. It's not just about numbers. It's about how those numbers reflect real decisions and actions that affect people's lives. What's really interesting here is that you don't need outright fraud or corruption to have problems. Weaknesses in those internal controls can create opportunities for things to go wrong, even if nobody's trying to steal money.
So even if they're trying to do the right thing, those weaknesses can cause trouble.
Exactly. And that brings us to our final thought for today. If a county like Pottawatomie, after being told about these problems multiple times, still struggled to fix them, what does that tell us about how hard it is to really get those internal controls right in government? And after hearing all this, what questions do you have about how transparent and accountable your local government is? It's worth thinking about.
Definitely something to consider. Thanks for listening to this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.